and welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. You're listening to Big Q&A. This is the show where we tackle life's biggest questions about God, faith, religion, and the Bible. Together we explore what the Bible really says about the issues that matter most and discover practical answers for everyday life. No question is off limits here because every question deserves an honest answer, and the Bible is where we must go for answers you can trust. Good evening, I'm Caden, your host for today. I'm the pastor of the Brighton and the Merrows Park Seventh-day Adventist Churches here in Adelaide, South Australia. Thank you for joining me as we explore life's biggest questions and discover the hope God offers. This week on Drive Time, our theme is faith more than a crutch for the weak? To put it another way, we're exploring some of the common criticisms people make about faith and asking what the Bible really says about belief, doubts, and the life of faith. And today we're at the question, looking at today, our big question for the day is, do the faithful ever doubt? Some people think that real Christians never doubt, that strong faith means never questioning and never struggling with uncertainty. But is that really what we see in real life, or is that what we see in the pages of the Bible? When we look at the Bible, we often find sincere believers wrestling with questions along their faith of journey. So does doubt mean that faith is failing, or could it actually be part of a deeper and growing trust that God wants to have with us? Today we're going to be exploring this question together, and to do that, I'd like to welcome back to the show our fan favourite, Lindy Spurring. How are you going, Lindy?
I'm going very well, Pastor Caden, and it's good to be back with you. As I reflect on the news this week about Kyle and Jackie O's split on the radio, I'm pretty sure that you and I are going to stick together for at least another few months.
You don't resonate with anything that's been happening there, translating to you in this program?
Not really. I mean, Kyle was pretty annoyed at Jackie O because she kept going on about horoscopes and stars. So yeah. I can relate to that. I can understand that. But I don't know that we're going to have those sorts of issues. So no. Here we are
and
together.
And we don't have multi-billion or million-dollar contracts, do we? So. It's a little bit different.
We certainly do not. We certainly do not. No, it's great to be back here. And I'd just like to do a cheerio.
Oh,
so
that'd be great.
The reason I wasn't here last week is because we had to travel over to Melbourne.
Yeah, we missed you.
Thank you. Yes, my father's not very well. And so we needed to travel over fairly quickly to see him. And we were picked up from home by a very nice gentleman called Ahmed. And he was an Uber driver. I think it's the very first time that Glenn and I have used an Uber traveling to the airport here in Adelaide.
Oh, okay.
And Ahmed had a brand new car. He's a very passionate father and husband who's caring for his family. And he was such a gentleman to us. And I said to him, you know what, Ahmed, I'm going to give you a cheerio on the radio this afternoon, so I'm just reaching out to him and thanking him for looking after us so well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, good to be able to meet him and yes, catch up with him, and I hope him and his family are listening to us. Shall we go to our World Watch for today? And, Lindy, we've got an article here from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. So instead of the ABC, it's the CBC.
Okay.
And this article is entitled Museum of Personal Failure Exhibition Turns Defeat into Triumph in Vancouver. So this is a particular museum exhibition that's opened up about personal failure and celebrating that.
Wouldn't that be great?
I can sure add
I
quite
add
a lot of
well.
things
quite a few failures
to that museum. This is just posted a few weeks ago this year, and it says a new exhibition at Vancouver's dubiously iconic Kingsgate Mall features lost hopes, shattered dreams, and crushed ambitions, and a whisper of hope. The Museum of Personal Failure, which runs January 24 to Feb 3, explores the experiences of failure through artifacts submitted by the public, ranging from a wedding dress of a failed marriage to non-working knives to a can of spilt paints. And as I'm reading through these examples, Lindy, I can think of the examples I could actually contribute to this if this was here in Australia.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It says it was curated by Barnaby residents, Evan Collins. The idea for the Museum of Personal Failure originated when a relationship ended. I felt like a failure. It was a heartbreak, Collins said. I just needed to do something about it, and this is what I did. Collins made posters saying failures wanted and plastered them on the garbage cans, the curbs, and the electrical boxes. Soon he had emails offering to display all sorts of artifacts of failures. Failure is an essential part of life, Collins said. It's part of making an attempt. Sometimes it goes the way you want it to. Sometimes it doesn't, he said. And I think that's very true, Lindy.
Absolutely.
I know when I was a teacher, I kept telling the kids this very concept, and I said in the classroom all the time, give it a go. Have a go.
At least try.
Give it a try.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of truth, I think, to what is being said here.
If we think about a lot of wonderful inventions, the people who invented them often had multiple failures before they came to one that worked.
Absolutely. You can probably think of many examples off the top of your head.
Yes.
Of people who did this, but they persisted. And that's the key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep reading here. It says, a wall of reject includes firing notices and rejection letters. So they've got this wall of reject and with all these different letters and papers.
I've had a couple of rejection letters.
I remember when I was in high school, they awarded me the doctor's certificate, not because I was smart, but because my handwriting was the messiest in my class. And I'm thinking I could contribute that.
I don't think I've seen your handwriting. I would have called you a scientist.
Yes, thank you. I prefer that. Collins' mother, Jennifer Campbell, submitted her wedding dress. She said, I wanted to tell the story about a failing that occurred in my marriage and how we were able to move on, she said. I've called it Threads of Innocence because it's about the innocence of false fairy tales or things that you think are going to happen when you're young and it doesn't happen.
Mm.
She noticed the significance of how she displayed the dress in a moving box. It represents how people can move on from difficult moments. It says, but just because something is a failure doesn't mean wonderful things can't happen from it, Campbell said. You just grow and you move on, she said. The wedding dress isn't the museum's only artifact of lost love either. Vancouver-based artist Dana Belcourt submitted a blurry film photograph of a past partner titled Photograph of a Failed Situationship.
That's an unusual word, isn't it?
Yeah. A situationship, there we go, in Belcourt's definition, is a halfway relationship, a push-pull relationship imbalance in which one partner wants something more and the other wants something less. Sometimes failures can be a good thing. I think it's actually a good thing that I didn't end up in a relationship with a person, Belcourt said. But it's not just that. The article goes on to say failed knives that look beautiful but don't work are also on display. And Bladesmith Casey of Lynn Valley Forge submitted a knife that can't be sharpened due to an issue with the chemical properties of his quenching oil. And for Valensky, failure is progress. Failure is a step forward. You don't go forward unless you fail. You have to be able to look back at your failures, figure out why they failed, and change the process, the progress, and move on. I don't harp on them. I put them in a bucket, he said. Working on his submission for the exhibition has sparked an interest in making art pieces for galleries. So, Lindy, as we read through this, it goes on to say that even failed songs are submitted here as part of it. Songs that artists, composers made but didn't become hits. And so there's a particular artist here, Jamie Greenberg, that has an album here of six failed songs. So it's quite a diverse gallery, really, of a range of different objects and situations that for people were failures, but it didn't end there. It sort of progressed, and I guess the meaning of it is it, you move on and you mm-hmm. build and you learn from it to greater things.
Well, I think part of the process of learning and experiencing something is what brings you perhaps to closer to not failure.
Yes.
And what perhaps even we might walk around this museum and go, well, I don't see that as a failure to me.
No.
I see that as, you know, because I could never build something like that. I could never write a song like that. I like the wedding box one and been saying, you know, there were some failures in the marriage, but they were able to move forward on that.
Yes.
To me, that's an encouragement.
Yes.
And so I really like the idea of a personal failure museum. I think it's really interesting, and there's so many different aspects to it with, you know, and it can bring hope to people.
Yeah.
Because the journeys in life don't always go easily, and sometimes we hit a wall or sometimes we hit a difficulty and people are tempted to give up.
Yes, absolutely.
But lots of people, they don't give up. They keep going. And this man, Collins, who was putting out all those signs, failures wanted, and heaps of people responded. It just shows you lots of people might have tried to make something, invent something. You know, you could do that with cooking. I've made some cakes that just didn't rise. They're just a failure. I've made bread that just didn't cook properly, and it was all gooey inside.
Yeah,
I think everybody listening's had a failure somewhere in their lives.
Yeah, I'm sure we can all think of quite a lot of things.
Yeah, we don't give up. You just keep trying again next time.
And that's the key, isn't it? Mm. And I'm sure if you were to go to one of these museums, you would find a lot of common ground with other people who have experienced very similar things.
Absolutely. Even the blurry photograph.
Yes.
You know, we've all taken, well, everyone's a photographer nowadays, aren't they, on their phones. And we've all taken photos and we've looked back and go, no good, we just delete it, just delete, just delete.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we all have failures.
Yes.
We might start a document, or we're writing an article, or we're trying to fix something around the house and it just doesn't work. It's a failure. So we've all got failures.
Oh, absolutely.
My husband was at home digging up to put some plants in, and he broke one of the downpipes.
Oh.
So he wasn't very happy. He's a bit of a failure.
Yeah, I can resonate with that.
He was going to tape it back up. And so we all have times that we fail. And I think if we can sometimes see it as a learning rather than a discouragement and a disappointment, we can then move forward to the next time and to the next thing that we want to achieve.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it?
That's what I see it as. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good attitude. And, you know, Lindy, just the other night we had this blood moon appear
across
our skies. Did you see it?
Yes, my husband and I went out in the back lawn. I said, Glenn, look, there's the blood moon.
Yeah. And
spectacular.
I was driving home at the time and could see it as the sun was going behind the moon. And,
oh, wow.
And you could see this brightness that was on part of the moon. And it was almost glowing like a rainbow.
Wow.
On the moon there. And I called, because I was driving, I couldn't take a photo. So I called my wife and I was like, oh, can you take a photo of it? Because that's pretty cool. But I got home, and by then the full
eclipse
and the moon was there in just completely red, and so I was trying to take photos of it, and you know, it took a number of goes, it took a number of failures
just to get the right one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but eventually, you know, I got one that was pretty good.
Excellent.
My kids were sleeping, but I knew that they would want to see it,
and so
the next day I showed them the clear photo I finally took.
Oh, good on you, because it only happens every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty rare. So it was quite the sight. Yeah.
And it was also a little bit not rare, I suppose, because Adelaide's not often got clouds, but there was no clouds. So you could see.
That's right.
And that's where it's disappointing. You come out and there's clouds and you can't see. So, no, it was really good.
I heard Melbourne had the clouds again.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm glad I don't live there anymore.
Yeah. We're sorry about that. We had clear skies here.
Sorry, Melbourne. We love you.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a break and listen to a song. This is Janine Ora, Sunflower.
Can you see the sunflower radiant and round, growing in the warm and dusty ground. Can you see it turning its face towards the light? Awestruck by the one that gives it life. Like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free. Like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free. Can you see the sunflower standing in the rain? Its tear-stained petals strong despite the pain. Can you see the thirsty soil where roots grow deep? Even though the skies above may weep, like a sunflower, grow in me. I will give you life. I have set you free. Like a sunflower, give you life. I have set you free. All of the things make up your being, the sun on your face, the air you are breathing, I will provide. Trust in me. I am the one who holds you together, safe in my arms, you'll withstand the weather. I will protect you. Trust in me. I am your God, the end and beginning. I am the axis when you are spinning. I do not change, I stay the same. I will sustain. Sunflower, trust in me. I will give you life. I have set you free. Like a sunflower, trust in me. I will give you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. Before we get to our Bible study this evening, we've got a free giveaway that we want to offer each of you. This is a fantastic book by Robbie Bergen, who's very well known across Faith FM. And this book is entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. You know, life storms are unavoidable, but peace in the midst of them is possible. In this book, Pastor Robbie Bergen shares his personal journey and explores biblical principles for overcoming stress, anxiety, and fear. Through practical insights, powerful stories, and a step-by-step faith experiments, this book guides you to discover the peace that God promises, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Test God's promises for yourself and learn how to experience lasting peace even when life feels out of control. And if you get this book offers practical steps to help you navigate stress and anxiety through prayer, gratitude, and trusting God's promises. Cultivate habits that promote emotional, physical, and spiritual peace. To stand firm on God's promises even when life feels out of control. And so to get your free copy of this book that we can send to you for free, all you need to do is text us a special code. And our code word for today is SA406. That's SA406. And you just need to text that in to our number on Drive Time, 0488 808 11 to get your free copy of this book, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. This is Robbie Bergen, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. The code is SA406. You just send it in with no spaces, just SA406 in one sentence, and you text that to 0488 808 11, and we'll send you this book entirely for free. By the way, if you do have any questions or comments that you might think about during the course of our time this evening, we'd also love for you to message in. We'd love to hear from you. And so don't be shy. Please send us a message or shout out where you're listening from. Or if you do have a particular question, we'd also love to be able to answer it for you. Again, you just text all those to the same number, 0488 808 11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. This week our theme is faith more than a crutch for the weak? And today we're exploring the question, do the faithful ever doubt? Some people think that real Christians never doubt, that if your faith is strong enough, you'll never question anything. But is that actually what the Bible shows us? Or can doubt sometimes be part of a sincere and growing faith? Lindy, how should we understand doubts in the life of a believer?
It's a very good question, isn't it, Pastor Caden? And it's probably something all of us as Christians have faced at one time or another, doubts, having doubts. And there are many theologians and spiritual writers who argue that faith, which has never faced doubt, may remain untested and fragile. So it's important for us, I believe, in our spiritual growth and journey, that there are times where there are doubts that creep in for a whole lot of reasons. And there's some very good examples in the Bible of people who have doubted.
Mm.
So I think sometimes we see faith and doubt as opposites. Yeah. You've either got faith or you don't, you have doubts.
Yes.
But I think that's different to faith and no faith. I think doubts is a part of life.
Yes.
I don't know what you think.
Yes.
But doubts can just be a part of. So to me, they're not necessarily opposites or necessarily struggling for dominance. I think it's more about that if you have faith, that you can comfortably sometimes allow time for doubts.
Yeah.
Because really our faith, the strength of our faith can come through Christ himself giving it to us. So I don't know if you've read this story. I'm sure you have. There's a wonderful story in the book of Mark about a little boy that had been brought to the disciples. It's in Mark chapter 9. He'd been brought to the disciples and they weren't able to heal him. And this father said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, I bought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever he seizes him, he throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So he's having this seizure. And so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not.
Mm.
And here's Jesus thinking, well, let's see what he thinks. He says, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.
Yes.
So now Jesus was very busy all the time, crowded by people. Somehow this father got to him and he said, you know, I brought my son to the disciples and they couldn't help. So they brought this child and immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And that's not a pretty picture.
No.
I've seen people having seizures. I've had them myself, so I understand about it. And so Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening? And the father said, from childhood. And often he has been thrown into the fire and into the water. But if you can do anything, the father says, have compassion on us and help us. And this is where Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately this father cries out, the father of this child that has lived with this child having these seizures, he cries out and he's emotional and he says with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
I love that.
Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yes.
And I think this is just so pivotal in understanding about faith. And so when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and he commanded him to leave and he left. And then Jesus went on to explain that this kind, because the disciples didn't understand, they went to him privately, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So it's obviously a certain type of situation that needed some oomph, some spiritual oomph for the disciples.
Yes.
But here's this illustration of this father who, you know, I believe but help my unbelief. Mm. And I think we as Christians feel like that sometimes too, you know.
Absolutely.
There are other stories in the Bible. What's the most famous story in the Bible of someone who had doubts?
Doubting Thomas.
Doubting Thomas. And this man had seen Jesus face to face. He had walked with Jesus and yet he had doubts. He didn't believe when Jesus was resurrected. He said, you know, I doubted. I have to touch you. And he had to feel Jesus and see where he'd been injured in the side. Like Jesus obviously didn't look exactly the same as he had before his resurrection. And he really doubted, but he still loved the Lord. And so here's a man who's seen Jesus face to face. And here we are. We haven't seen him face to face. Not really. We've sensed him. We talk with him. I believe we even hear his voice sometimes. We have his nudgings and his prompting. So I personally think, Pastor Caden, that doubt can serve a valuable purpose in deepening our faith. Because when we have uncertainties, we'll often start wanting to have a deeper understanding, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
We'll pray. We'll study the Bible.
That's right. When you do have that, you're wanting to jump in and you're hungry to go in and to find the answers.
Absolutely.
If someone tells you something that you're like, ooh, that doesn't sound quite right.
You go and look for yourself.
I just go and look for myself.
Absolutely.
And see what the Bible actually says on this.
And it builds your confidence, doesn't it?
That's right.
Your faith. It builds your understanding. And I think, you know, doubt challenges easy answers and surface level beliefs and probably encourages us to seek after truth and have a more mature spiritual life. You know, there's often people who give pat answers to things, Pastor Caden, and I think we need to have real and proper answers for what we believe and what we understand.
Yes.
And as I said, there are theologians and spiritual writers that have argued that faith, which has never faced doubt, can remain untested and fragile. And in the world that we're living in, we need to sometimes be tested. Our faith needs to be strong. It needs to be powerful. And it needs to have reasons for why we believe what we believe.
I really can resonate with that, and I can think in my life of experiences of doubts that I have had.
Mm-hmm.
it's really prompted me to think differently or dig deeper, and I can reflect on those doubts and those times of doubts to later on where I can conquer the next sort of thing that I face because of that issue that I faced previously, or right. I can help someone who's struggling in that area that I struggled in many years ago or some time ago.
So you built on it.
I built on it. Yeah.
You built on it. So it's almost like levels, I suppose, of growing and understanding. I think too that we should be able to allow people to have honest questions. And sometimes because we don't know what we believe, we can become a little bit irritable and antagonistic when someone questions what we believe. It's because we don't really know enough of why we believe what we believe. And I read recently something that said that a lot of children grow up in the church and Christian schools and they learn about the Bible and they learn the Bible stories, but they don't necessarily learn why the Bible is true, why we can trust in the Bible, what sort of evidence is there in the world today to show that the Bible is true.
Yeah, and not just fairy tales.
Not just stories, not just experience. And I think that's so true. We need to understand why we believe what we believe. It's no good to go around and just say, oh, well, Noah's Ark and tell the story. But there's evidence to show that Noah's Ark is possibly locked away on some mountain and Mount Ararat, I think, and they've found some evidence of that. So that's really exciting because it reinforces what we believe about the Bible and some of the stories in the Bible. So I don't think faith and doubt are sort of not enemies to each other, but it's part of this ongoing journey of belief.
Yeah, and this growth.
This growth. And doubt doesn't have to undermine our faith. It can refine and strengthen it. And by acknowledging and exploring different questions, which come up with all of us, believers can develop a faith that is both honest and resilient. We need to be resilient. Now you think about doubting Thomas, and it'll be interesting to get to the kingdom and meet him, won't it? And say,
oh,
well,
yeah,
are you doubting Thomas? He'll say, I'm not doubting anymore.
Yeah.
So he would have grown. And there's so many others in the Bible, like Jonah. Jonah doubted God's power to work through him when he had to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh.
That's right.
He wasn't going to go there. Some of the younger minor prophets, we call them in the Old Testament, they doubted that they could be the ones to give messages and speak.
You just think of Moses, for example.
Moses.
He had a lot of doubts, didn't he?
And there were others who were very young and they were concerned about their youth. How would they be able to spread the gospel? Well, what about Peter?
Yeah.
Peter doubted after himself a lot.
Yes.
After his three denials.
Yes.
And I think he perhaps didn't fully understand the power that Christ could work in him to change his life.
That's right.
So he would have been doubting this whole situation. So there's so many in the Bible, isn't there?
But it's amazing to see their growth as you look at these Bible characters and see how God was working upon them, growing them and preparing them for the future that he had for them.
Yes.
And you just look at a number of these characters that we mentioned and what they went on to do and the people they went on to become when they had really grown and developed in their walk. I think it's quite amazing.
Well, when you think about Moses being asked to come out of the wilderness where he lived, and he wasn't that young at that stage.
No, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't young.
And he was meant to be a leader for Israel.
Yeah.
He's like, are you kidding me? Like, and he must have looked back sometimes and wondered what he was doing. But
he was enjoying country living there, married and, had
sons
and, mm-hmm. and then, God told him, go and lead the million plus Israelites that were in Egypt.
That's right.
It's a mammoth of a job for an 80-year-old.
And I've got a nice story here about a young man who was, he was a fairly spiritual person growing up, and when he was a child, he'd often ask his parents questions about God and about heaven, and he was very interested in spiritual things. And he often asked even questions that are a bit more difficult.
Yes.
And then he settled down and sort of, you know, he had his faith in God and he read his Bible and he had questions about this passage and that. And then something happened in his freshman year. This is what they talk about in America, freshman year, later high school. It shook the foundations of everything he believed he knew to be true. He had a very good friend of his committed suicide. And for the first 48 hours after this happened, he was just numb. He didn't give a thought to anything but my friend and how he talked to me early in the week. He'd even told them all he was planning on doing it and they thought he was kidding and they just laughed it off. And so he started to question God. How could a loving God allow this to happen? You know, he believed in God so strongly, then he started to doubt. How come his God didn't intervene and prevent his friend from doing this? And he became more angry at God and more lonely and depressed himself. And it was some time later that, you know, some years later, he wavered between doubting God's existence and knowing that there was no God or believing there was no God. And he wrote all sorts of short stories and about his disappointment. God, I don't believe in you. You know, what are you going to do about it? And he wrote a lot of things and he mocked God and he just really had no faith. And then he went through a very dark time, but then something happened. He started to see that Christ was living out in the lives of people he knew at college. And he began to slowly consider if Jesus was true, then perhaps the words of Scripture really were life and truth and love and grace. And it took 4.5 years, but he finally, he heard God's still small voice that said, I love you. Your doubt and your anger do not cause me to love you any less. And he said going through this experience actually helped him to be a much stronger Christian. So he'd had this foundation of spirituality and then he'd become angry and hurt after a particularly traumatic experience and then he came back to the Lord. And, you know, we think about Abraham. You know, he didn't trust in God and he lied about his wife.
Yeah.
She was his sister, but that wasn't the whole story.
It was like a half lie, wasn't it?
It was half a lie, but it certainly got him in trouble. Joseph, Thomas, and Peter, there's so many.
Even John the Baptist, remember?
Yes, he
asked when he was in prison? Yeah.
Are you the one or is there someone else to come?
That's right. You know, and he's described as the greatest prophet.
Absolutely.
By Jesus. So, you know, it can happen to the greatest to the least.
It certainly can. And I think that as you walk as a Christian and we navigate life and we come up against different challenges, God can handle our doubt.
Yeah.
I know that God can handle my anger and frustration if I express it to him. He can handle that. He can handle our doubt. And the story of Job, now that is just so powerful, isn't it?
It is.
He just navigated such significant losses, you know. I've had a bit of a tough beginning to this year with one thing after another, but Job just had a huge amount of issues. And yet, excuse me, in Job 13, 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. So here's Job saying, even though he's gone through the worst possible amount of situation, losing his children, losing his property and losing his livelihood in so many ways, he says, I will still trust him.
Yes.
Now, that is strong faith.
Absolutely.
Doesn't seem like he had any doubts, does it? But I would be very surprised if through that he did have some doubts and he was wondering who was this God and what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like the Bible verse where it says that God knows our frame. He knows that we are just flesh and blood.
Yes, that's right.
And that he understands all these doubts and these problems that we might have. Mm-hmm. And yet he works with us even the more to bring us out.
Yes.
And what you're saying here is that doubt is a very real part of a Christian walk, and not something that we should be ashamed of, but something that God wants to help us through and grow us through.
And I think even when things are going well, we can still have some doubts. Or did God really call us to South Australia from Victoria?
You think of Elijah after he had the triumph at Mount Carmel.
That's right.
He then went into quite a trial of doubt afterwards.
A bit of deep depression.
He was on a high, and then Satan came in.
Mm-hmm.
And that can very easily happen to every single one of us.
Absolutely. So can the faithful have doubts? Absolutely they can. And I don't think it means that your spiritual walk is all going to seed. I think it means that it's just part of the journey as we journey through our life with the Lord, with the challenges that we face.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Well, don't go anywhere. We're going to be concluding this topic and giving some practical information about doubts and how to handle them. But before we do, we're going to go to a song now. This is by the Outliers, When Overwhelmed with Doubt and Fear.
When overwhelmed with doubt and fear, great God, do thou my spirit cheer. Let not mine eyes with tears be fed, but to the Rock of Ages let me be led.
When storms of sin and sorrow beat, lead me to this divine retreat. Thy perfect righteousness and blood, you are my rock, my fortress, you are my God. When guilt heavily lies on my soul, and waves of fierce temptation, to that rock for shelter flee, and find my refuge, Lord, find it in Thee. When called the veil of death to tread,
welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. That was the song by the Outliers, When Overwhelmed with Doubt and Fear. Well, we have a free giveaway. This is the fun opportunity for you to claim this free offer today. This is a book by Robbie Bergen entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. This is a brilliant book about life storms which are unavoidable, but peace is possible. And in this book, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, Pastor Robbie Bergen shares his personal journey and explores biblical principles for overcoming stress, anxiety, and fear. Through practical insights, powerful stories, and step-by-step faith experiments, this book guides you to discover the peace that God promises, a peace that passes all understanding. The book encourages you to test God's promises for yourself and learn how to experience lasting peace even when life feels out of control. So amongst all the things that this book will cover, it will help you and give you some practical steps of how to navigate stress and anxiety through prayer, through gratitude and trust in God's promise. It will help you cultivate habits that promote emotional, physical and spiritual peace. And it will help you stand firm on God's promises even when life feels out of control. And we know that can happen very, very often. So this is a fantastic book. It's one I have in my library, and I encourage you to claim this free offer today. To do so, you just need to text in the code for us, SA406, just one word, SA406, and you just text that into 0488 808 11, and we'll send it to you absolutely for free. This is the free giveaway, final opportunity for today, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm by Robbie Bergen. You just text in the code to our drive time number. Once you text the code in, our AI robots will take over and just text a few, ask a few details from you. So you just need to text the code, and the AI bot will take over after that. The code is SA406, and you message that to our drive time number, 0488 808 11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Well, welcome to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, our theme has been faith and asking the question, is it more than a crutch? Is it more than a crutch for the week? And today we're diving into the big question, do the faithful ever doubt? We've been looking at biblical examples. And Lindy, for listeners who may be struggling with questions and uncertainties in their faith, what are some practical steps that they can take to navigate these doubts in a healthy way and be overcomers?
Well, I suppose the topic of apologetics could come in here, couldn't it? Because apologetics isn't apologizing for everything. It's more about having rational belief behind what you believe and having some evidence-based information.
Yes.
And so, you know, we could, I think it's important that whenever we try to back up the Bible with truths, and so I would encourage you, if you have some struggles with the Word of God, then study the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and read some other books as well. For example, you might read, what's that book? It's just slipped my mind, but it's like a faith, not the faith experiment, but it's about learning about God in difficult times. I can't think of its name. Sorry, it's slipped my mind. It'll probably come back to me. But there are some other really good books around that help us to understand more clearly why we believe what we believe. And even to get study Bibles or to get other resources about the history in Bible times that sometimes backs up and supports the stories in the Bible. All of those things are practical ways that we can build our faith. But, you know, some amazing people have had doubts. I think of C.S. Lewis. Now, he's really well known for the Narnia books and other books. And he lost his wife, Joy Davidman, to cancer in 1960. She passed away. And it really tested his faith. But in the end, he came out even stronger. He came out even more faithful. He came out so influential in the Christian world. And he's sort of one of the most influential apologists of the 20th century. And so it's not a wrong or bad, I think, to have doubts. It's perhaps what we do with those doubts. And, you know, there's been lots of people who've struggled. I read another story about Dr. Bobby Conway. He had a terrible life in lots of ways. His former life was marked by addiction, self-doubt, and relentless questions about existence and morality. And he was academically inclined and climbing the ladder of theological education, but he faced severe waves of skepticism, and it brought him to the brink of despair. And so he had this incredible transformation to becoming a deeply committed Christian. That was Dr. Bobby Conway. And so sometimes going through those experiences and those doubts can lead you to be an even stronger, faithful Christian and able to withstand the sorts of difficulties that we all face. So I think doubt is just a very important part of our Christian journey. We don't need to be scared about it. But if you're listening and you say, well, I really sort of doubt about creation, or I doubt about the resurrection, there's just so much evidence in the Bible to show that these things were true. And there's so much evidence outside the Bible to show that these things are true. And there's a lot of books and resources around. I would like to talk a little bit more about Thomas, if you don't mind, Pastor Caden. And I'd just like to read what it talks about him in John. But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So this is after Jesus has died and he's been resurrected. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So this was interesting. He's spending time with the other disciples that he knows and has trusted, and he said he won't believe unless he sees for himself. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, so he had just appeared in the room and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, because Jesus knew what he'd said, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So Jesus didn't come in and rebuke Thomas for his doubts and his unbelief. He showed him evidence, but he also commanded him to believe as well. And I like the way Jesus handled this situation. Then he said to him, Thomas, and this is for us today, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Wow.
So we as Christians, we believe. We're faithful believers. We have faith. But we can still have doubts, yes. And that's all right. But don't just stay with those doubts. Do everything you can to chase down the truth and ask God and the Holy Spirit to lead you. Lee Strobel, the book written by Lee Strobel, it just came to me. And it's a really good book of how he stepped away from doubts into belief. So you can look that up. Just look up what books Lee Strobel has written. So I just think, and I think you agree with me, that doubts are just a part of the Christian walk.
And we've seen from all the examples that you've shared that Jesus doesn't give up.
No.
And he doesn't throw you out because you doubt, but he actually makes an effort and he walks side by side with you and leads you to conquer those doubts and grow deeper with him.
He does. He does. And when you consider the stories in the Bible and you consider the archaeological evidence that is around today.
Oh, it's just.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. Yeah. You can't actually doubt the Bible and the biblical record once you look at all the archaeological evidence that they've been digging up for the last couple hundred years and they're still digging up.
And they're still finding, and I think even fairly recently they've found evidence of where the waters were parted and the Israelites went through. They've found chariot wheels and things under the water there. I mean, seriously, isn't that exciting and amazing to have all of this evidence that comes around? So if anybody's listening and they say, well, Lindy, you know, you've given me a little bit to think about and you've got some doubts, start reading your Bible regularly, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Look for those books outside that add evidence, archaeological books and other books that add evidence and history. Get a study Bible and work through your doubts, because that helps you to grow stronger and to grow closer to the Lord. There's a little saying by Charles Spurgeon which I really like. It says, Of all the things in this world that can set the heart burning, there is nothing like the presence of Jesus.
Mm.
I really like that saying, the presence of Jesus in our lives. And here was Thomas not believing until he saw with his own eyes. And yet Jesus came there amongst them. He'd heard Thomas's heart. He said, put your hand in my side, look at my hands,
yes,
and believe. And blessed are those, and that's you and I, we've not seen Jesus face to face yet, Pastor Caden, but it's certainly something that we can look forward to.
Yeah, it's also like Peter when he had the walking on water experience, but then he took his eyes off Jesus. You know, he had that moment, and then he had that experience of falling into the water. And it just reminds us that we need to look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith.
Absolutely.
And the moment we take our eyes off him, we can start to sink.
Sink.
But Jesus is ready to pick us up, isn't he?
He certainly
is. That hand is already. So we praise God for that. So
we do.
That is just a great study. And so I think we've well and truly answered that question. Do the faithful ever doubt? Absolutely. But don't worry. God will work with us and help us.
Amen.
So thank you for listening to Big Q&A Drive Time today. We encourage you to join tomorrow when Naomi and Emily will continue this theme and ask our next question, how does faith change contemporary life? Until then, we ask that you remember the words of Scripture that Lindy shared today in Mark 9:24, I believe, but help my unbelief. May God guide you as you continue on your faith journey.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.